Wishes are a category of cards that bring other cards into the game from outside the game. The effect's roots go way back to Arabian Nights with Ring of Maruf, and reappeared in 2002 with its namesake cycle in Judgment. Since then, we've seen 10 new cards printed with this effect. Coax from the Blind Eternities, Fae of Wishes, Glittering Wish, Karn the Great Creator, Legion Angel, Mastermind's Acquisition, Research and Development, Spawnsire of Ulamog, The Raven's Warning, and Vivian Arcbow Ranger. You're probably familiar with a lot of these cards because more than half of them have been released since September of 2018. Every time one gets printed, a sizable portion of the community starts talking about whether they should function in Commander. On Thursday, March 25th, we saw several cards with a new mechanic that's confirmed to be in Strixhaven, coming out on April 23rd. Learn functions like a wish that can only grab cards from outside the game with the specific card type Lesson. This has brought wishes back into the spotlight, so now's as good a time as any to talk about them. I'm Jim, I'm your Spike on the mic, and today we're talking about wishes in Commander. Let's begin by identifying the rules that are relevant to the discussion. This is a really great practice when it comes to talking about the format because it allows us to form informed opinions about the way things should be. Wishes deal with cards that are outside the game, and the comprehensive rules describe what that means in Rule 400.11, and I quote, "An object is outside the game if it isn't in any of the game's zones. Outside the game is not a zone." 400.11a. Cards in a player's sideboard are outside the game. 400.11b. Some effects bring cards into a game from outside of it. Those cards remain in the game until it ends. 400.11c. Cards outside the game can't be affected by spells or abilities except for characteristic defining abilities printed on them and spells and abilities that allow those cards to be brought into the game. There's also section 3.15 of the Magic Tournament rules, which state, and I quote, "Certain cards refer to a card or cards you own from outside the game. In tournament play, a card you own from outside the game is a card in that player's sideboard," unquote. Commander has a pretty loose connection to the MTR. It's essentially non-existent. It might provide useful guidance for your group in some situations, but it's not officially a part of the format. That is to say, if you're not playing in a tournament format, you're not bound to play by the rules of the MTR if you don't want to, but there's a lot of common sense in there that's helpful. So where does that leave us with respect to wishes? Well, 400.11a lists a sideboard as being a place that cards can be that exists outside of the game, but it's not the only place that cards can be when they're outside the game. This means that at a base level, in non-tournament play, wishes actually do work. If you're playing Two-Headed Giant or Kitchen Table Constructed, you can literally get up from the table, grab a shoebox of cards from your closet, and grab whatever you want. There's one catch, though. Right at the beginning of Section 9 of the Comprehensive Rules, there's Rule 900.1, which states, "This section contains additional, optional rules that can be used for certain casual game variants. It is by no means comprehensive." When you go to mtgcommander.net, you'll find the format rules for Commander. They're listed here in plain language so people can easily find and understand them. One of them, Rule 11, is not in the comprehensive rules. Here it is. "Parts of abilities which bring other cards you own from outside the game into the game, such as Living Wish, Spawnsire of Ulamog, and Karn the Great Creator, do not function in Commander." This is pretty explicit. It doesn't work in our format. Now, before we all grab our pitchforks, I want to establish one thing. And if you've been following this series, it's something you've heard before. Not every card needs to be usable in every format. We touched on this a little in the last episode about Infect, but not every card functions the same way in every format, and that's okay. As a recent example, Legacy and Vintage inherit a lot of the cards that get printed for Commander. Things like Arcane Signet and Command Beacon are legal in those formats, but they don't actually do anything. Likewise, in Commander, things like Garbage Fire are technically castable, but their functionality rests on things that don't exist outside of Draft. I haven't even really seen anybody suggest that these cards should do something other than what they do right now. It's pretty evident that changing the rules of those formats to accommodate mechanics that weren't designed with them in mind would cause more problems than it would solve. Now, you might be thinking, that's different. In that example, the cards work as written, and nobody has gone through the exercise of carving out space in the rules to make them work. In Commander, though, we've done the opposite. The cards would work, but for Rule 11. The Rules Committee has carved out space in the rules to specify that they don't work as written. So why is that? Well, it turns out there's two main reasons. First, let's imagine a world where wishes work as written. You cast Glittering Wish, and the game rules allow you to grab any card you legally own from your collection that's not currently in a game zone. It's totally possible that the vast majority of players will do this responsibly. They know what they're going to get, and they've got it handy. It's in their deck box or next to their playmat or whatever. I have no idea how big my personal collection is, but I'm going to ballpark it at about 30,000 cards. I actually have no idea if I own certain cards because probably 75% of them aren't sorted or cataloged. They're not bulk either. In fact, last weekend I brought a 4-row BCW box to my LGS and found out that I had about $360 in trade value in it. Are you going to sit around while I sort through it looking for whatever silver bullet I need for this exact situation? I wouldn't. It also raises the issue that I don't always play at home. Unless I'm wheeling my dresser full of cards to my buddy's house or my LGS, my wish cards function differently based on where I'm playing. Players who prepare to cast a wish card have an asymmetric advantage over players who don't, and having them function as written encourages people to bring a stack or a binder or a box full of cards with them to keep up. It also raises questions about whether the cards you're wishing for have to comply with Commander's deck building restrictions. Can I wish for a second copy of something that's already in my deck? Does it have to abide by color identity rules? What happens if I cast your wish card, maybe from your graveyard? Beyond that, wishes can also create a bit of social friction that underscores some of the economic inequality that exists among players. Card accessibility can be a sensitive topic, and I can definitely tell you that players are already sensitive to the idea of playing against a deck that's substantially more expensive, and adding what could be a multi-$1,000 wish board on top of that will likely exacerbate that problem. This is a big part of why the MTR restricts the definition of which outside-the-game cards you have access to when you wish for something. Sideboards have to comply with format legality and deck-building constraints, and the MTR uses the sideboard as a mechanism to balance the uneven competitive advantage. It also reduces the burden on players who want to min-max. Even with this restriction, wishes still see play in competitive formats. I don't follow the legacy meta, but I do know that at some point, and this may still be the case, it was common to use wishes as a tutor effect, and the driving force behind the more recent wishes is to function in best of one and limited play on Arena. Thinking back to my first episode in this series, titled Commander is Different, I explained one of the concepts that underpins Commander as a format. It's different from tournament-oriented formats. The lack of a sideboard in the format is a deliberate decision to create some daylight between Commander and formats that explicitly encourage maximization of win percentage. After all, that's what a sideboard's for, conceptually speaking. It's a skill-based game mechanic that allows people to make limited changes to their deck on the fly to maximize their chances of winning. By and large, that's not the environment that the Rules Committee is looking to cultivate, so sideboards are a piece that work against the format philosophy rather than in service of it. So, when we imagine a world where wishes work according to the comprehensive rules, something like MTR 3.15 becomes necessary. And taking a big step closer to the way that tournament-oriented formats are structured doesn't appear to be worth it when the benefit is a pool of only a couple dozen cards. So how do wishes fit into all this? Well, it depends on your reading of the rules, honestly. If you want to be pedantic about it, you might argue that Rule 11 isn't in the comprehensive rules, so you're free to play wishes as you please. As a disclaimer here, though, I do want to point out that being right about obscure rules technicalities doesn't guarantee that you'll have a playgroup who's willing to welcome it or even tolerate it. A holistic understanding of the rules acknowledges that Rule 11 is there for a reason, and you should talk to the people you're playing with to feel out how comfortable they are playing with that kind of mechanic. The way the rule is structured right now allows players to opt in to playing wishes. If you have your heart set on playing Spawnsire of Ulamog to grab an Ulamog from the Blind Eternities, here's my recommendation. Build the deck and talk to people about why you're excited to play it. From my experience playing Commander, people are generally pretty receptive to reasonable deviations from the rules as written when you're not doing it exclusively to maximize your win percentage. If I walk up to a CEDH table and tell them I want to play Flash, there's generally a feeling of resentment because other players feel like they're at a disadvantage. If you're playing Flash, why can't I play Gristlebrand, they might say. But if I walk up to a table of strangers and say, hey, do you mind if I play Elbrus the Binding Blade as my commander? I just really love the card and the deck is super fun. I think there's a better than 50% chance that the table agrees to it. I could be wrong, but that's my sense of where people tend to draw the line. To tie a bow around all this, I think that although the Commander Rule 11 should appear somewhere in the Comprehensive Rule 903 for consistency's sake, the rule itself is pretty sound. As it stands, not allowing wishes in Commander prevents the need for implementing tournament-oriented rules, encourages pregame discussion about what people are comfortable with, and doesn't add to an already heavy backpack at FNM. As always, if you want to contact me to talk about the contents of this episode, you can reach me on our Discord. If you're watching this on YouTube, the invite code is on the screen, or you can click on the link in the video description below. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at JimTSF, or email the Spike Feeders directly at thespikefeeders@gmail.com. I'm Jim, I'm your Spike on the mic, and thanks for talking about wishes with me today. Hey, thank you for checking out the Spike Feeders on YouTube. If you're not subscribed yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button before you close the window. Or you can click on this link to check out our other great videos.